What we'll do with the sermon this week, we'll put the notes, the full text on the website, so you can go back over it, and I'm sure you can enjoy it that way. But let's continue from where we got to, and I'll try and recover from that point, saying that this is where we're focusing on, this being still, self-emptying, being silent. And let me just go back over the last part. That's we say in our church circles often, those words from St. Augustine, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. But we may often ignore the need to find daily rest in thee. And in our churches, we can be as guilty as the world in filling up our lives with a frenzy of activity, and maybe more so, thinking that we need to find the great speaker or the great worship experience to know God, when actually he's there with us all the time, just waiting for us to make space for him. It is the rich time of stillness, silence, that brings God from outside of you to inside, deep within your soul." And so much of our Christian lives can be words about God rather than experience of him, unless we have this daily time of communion. Truly, we have to self-empty to be filled with the presence of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in this time of stillness, God can work on who you truly are. And that can be painful, as repressed memories or feelings come into awareness, things about ourselves we'd rather not face. Thomas Keating referred to this as the unloading of the unconscious. But be comforted, in this place of stillness with God, you're with him who is the ground of all life, the essence of your being, who loves you through and through. Receive his balm, his healing. This self-emptying, receiving from God, is, I'm sure, the reason, as we saw last week, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door. Of course, Jesus prayed in other places, public places, mountaintops, but the core daily foundation of prayer is in a room on your own with God. Because here, there are limited distractions. It is just you and God. Of course, this deeper settling may not come easily. You may be bored, and that is exactly the time you must continue. Being bored is very understandable. Our lives are so full of activities and stimulus. But remember, in this time of prayer, at this point of stillness, you're in the presence of your Creator and Sustainer, he who is glorious, mighty, and majestic, gentle and kind. When we are bored, we are still in our self-preoccupation. We have not let go into the presence of God. And again, there are exercises that can help us to focus on God, letting go of self, keeping the stillness. In particular, be aware of your breathing and use prayer words. In the gospel reading, Jesus breathed on the disciples saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Be aware as you breathe in, you're breathing in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And then you can repeat prayer words, a verse from the Bible which helps you to focus on God, maybe a verse from the Bible reading you've just done. Working through any sense of boredom in these ways will draw you back to God, to blessing. And it may be helpful if I just go through how my prayer time went on the morning that I wrote this. And I do not share this as an expert. I'm just someone who's had to try to learn to pray, otherwise I couldn't do my job. And along the way, God has been very gracious. So I wrote this on Wednesday. It's Wednesday morning for the prayer time. The day before, I'd struggled, Tuesday, in being focused on work, as I struggle with energy levels and focus as this time of corona goes on. I'm sure this is true for many of you in work, especially if you're self-employed. Work at the moment can feel like me, God, and four walls. As a vicar, you've got no boss to talk to or report to. You have to be entirely self-motivated. Thankfully, I do have Jenny, soulmate, to be able to share with. But of course, it's me that has to get on with trying to work out what church being a vicar means in this time. So it's Wednesday morning after an unsatisfactory day before. As ever, I start the day with prayer. I set a timer. You can probably use your fancy smartphones. I don't know if my Nokia has an alarm function. I don't know much about my Nokia. So I use a good old kitchen timer. I've just got 35 minutes today. I light candles, write in my prayer journal, pray through some of our church members' list. You all get prayed for over a couple of weeks or so. I also pray for Christians in Tunisia, Algeria, and Egypt, the focus this week of the Barnabas Prayer Guide. I read through lists of family, friends, particular people in need, church, and general situations. To be honest, I don't spend long on any particular person or issue. I remember Jesus teaching, "Do not keep on babbling. You do not need many words. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." God knows better than I do all the people and situations I pray for. I then read through the service from the Church of England's Common Worship Prayer Book for this week. It's full of glorious scriptural acclamations and prayers about the ascension of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. I wish I could persuade more of you how good the prayer book is to use. I read the set Bible reading, Psalm 29, the wonderful teaching and miracle of Jesus recorded in Luke chapter 8, and the strange goings-on of Balak and Balaam in Numbers. Again, I do not spend long on each passage. I just read. But those four questions we saw last week are there subconsciously going on as I read through the Bible passages. I come towards the end of the service praying through the Lord's Prayer. Along the way, I've been doing the settling activities, trying to deal with the monkey chatter, writing things down to be done, praying in tongues. I look at my timer and see there are still 10 minutes left, a glorious 10 minutes still to come. I try to settle just being still, silent, stilling the body, being aware of breathing, but I'm distracted, not least because one of the candles has burnt down and threatens to burn the wooden candlestick it is in. I have to deal with it. I try to settle again, but realise I'm feeling a bit bored. I want to get on with the day. I feel prompted to go back to Psalm 29, and verse 11 stands out. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I write this down on a card and pray it as a mantra. Now I feel I'm there. God is speaking into my frustrations and weariness, my sins and failings, hurts and wounds, and affirming my strengths and purpose. God brings his balm and grace. He brings the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the moment is broken as the alarm on my timer goes off. I wish I could stay and adore. I do not want to leave. But the day calls and I know I have been strengthened. Strengthened by word as I carry that verse from Psalm 29 with me through the day. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And strengthened by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I've experienced something of Paul's prayer in Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Ephesians 3, 16 to 17. So what blessing there is, truly, there will be when we seek to build our relationship with God, when we focus on daily communion with him, we will receive the Holy Spirit. Just like the first disciples who were told after the ascension of Jesus joined together constantly in prayer. They together were utterly focused on self-emptying and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They knew joy and strength, transformed to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. They were anointed with gifts, people, to be an effective church. And as they continued to focus on self-emptying, seeking God, they would have known all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit growing in them. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5. This is the blessing we all need. A Spirit-filled church with people offering their God-given gifts in service. Spirit-filled people who truly are growing in the grace of God. Such blessing begins with you and me giving that set time each day to pray, to grow our relationship with God. I pray that you'll be so blessed in doing this in this coming week. Amen.